This calamitous foreign policy disaster is Joe Biden's fault. This is the direct consequence of Joe Biden's surrender to Vladimir Putin on Nord Stream 2.
Yes, it is. Senator Ted Cruz commenting on the big band, a Zoom call yesterday. We sent hapless Joe up there against Vlad the Impaler, and it came out about as you might expect. Then we sent the Barney Fife of National Security out at the briefing room yesterday. Have you seen this guy? He puts the Paul in pallor. He is, he looks like an English person from the 1700s. That's not a compliment. The ferociousness with which National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan addressed these very important issues. Oh, I was quaking. I was in awe. He's the alpha male of the Biden White House. You know, this is a topic of discussion now that Chris Cuomo is no longer on CNN. Who's the lead dog? Who's the alpha male at CNN? And according to polling information, early polling information, it's Manderson Pooper. They got Manderson Pooper as the alpha male now. Because what else? They have Don Lemon, I guess, as Don Lemon is the he's runner-up. He's currently involved in a court case for groping a man in a most vulgar way. Did you read the description of the way that Don Lemon groped that man in a public venue? It was not a very attractive story, I've got to say. But CNN is fine with it. They're aware of it. And they, you know, of course, unlike Kyle Rittenhouse, CNN anchors are innocent until proven guilty. Speaking of which, Kyle Rittenhouse was on, he did an interview, I believe it was with Blaze TV. Is that right, Michael? Blaze TV? And he talked about LeBron James. You know, LeBron James decided for some inexplicable reason to take a break from spending his slave money. You know, Chinese slave labor is very, very good to LeBron James and the NBA. Even Jake Tapper noticed it the other day. But LeBron James decided to go on the Twitter and attack Kyle Rittenhouse while he was on trial for his life because, you know, why wouldn't he? He's LeBron James. And so he attacked Kyle Rittenhouse. Well, Kyle Rittenhouse was doing an interview yesterday, and he used a bad word, didn't he? We had to bleep a word from Kyle Rittenhouse because he had, you could say it was kind of a two-word expression for I think it was a little longer than that, but normally it's a two-word expression for LeBron James, young Kyle Rittenhouse. He's 18 years old. And he's free because he defended himself against that serial child rapist that was just out of the mental institution. You know, Joseph Rosenbaum, clearly a Biden voter, an Obama voter. Now, I guess, can he vote because he's an ex-convict, because he raped those five little boys? You know, Democrat all the way. So it's unclear whether he had his right to vote restored or not. Probably not because, you know, he's no longer with us, but he was insane. So we'll get into the Kyle Rittenhouse and LeBron James and lots of good stuff. Vlad the Impaler just took Joe Biden's lunch money yesterday on this little Zoom call that they had. And they said, oh, boy, it was really big, and Joe Biden was really strong. And if you look at the headlines, you know, because he's a Democrat, the news media is fawning and adoring Joe Biden for his incredible performance, even though it was closed to the press. And they said, oh, yeah, he was really tough. He was threatening Vlad the Impaler with economic sanctions if he invades Ukraine militarily and takes it over. You know, they invaded a portion of Ukraine, the Crimean Peninsula, during the Obama-Biden administration. And they were all afraid of Trump because the news media in America painted Trump as being this terror, this monster. And it did have a somewhat beneficial effect on a certain level when it came to the United States dealing with the tyrants of the world in Iran and Russia and China, because, you know, if you believe what you see on CNN, you thought that Hillary Clinton was going to win, and there was no, and every, all the other media too, just amazing stuff. But now Joe Biden, they know that they can just walk up to him and slap him and take his lunch, and then take his lunch money and then say things about his mother, and it's okay. And that's, I think, pretty much what happened yesterday. But the news media is spinning it for the White House, saying, boy, he was really good, and he threatened him with economic sanctions. And then they sent this one fellow, Jake Sullivan, out there, the national security advisor. I'm making quotation marks with my fingers. And he dodged a lot of questions. And then it turns out at the end of the Kremlin put out more information than the White House. And the Kremlin says, you know, because they said, well, we're going to pull the plug on the Nord Stream 2 gas pipeline from Russia to Germany, which was an incredibly lame idea in the first place by the Biden White House, to allow Russia to be a primary provider of energy to NATO nations. That's a good idea. Let's just start with that. Why does NATO exist? And so that was a really bad idea. Now, they're saying, oh, well, we won't allow them to pump gas through the Nord Stream 2 pipeline if they invade Ukraine. You know, and it's a Jake Sullivan's talking about an Eastern Front. Is the Eastern Front? I was thinking of Colonel Klink and Sergeant Schultz and the Eastern Front. Schultz, going to send you to the Eastern Front. And they literally reintroduced the phrase Eastern Front yesterday. But it turns out the Kremlin says, they still have the Kremlin, even though the Soviet Union fell, they still have the Kremlin. And the Kremlin, they said, Putin's people, they said, well, the matter of the Nord Stream 2 pipeline never came up in discussions, never came up. Just as when there's like they're threatening him without ever bringing it up. It's a kind of a sideways threat. I guess they did it through CNN or another one of their allied organizations. Perhaps extraordinary. You know, you remember Joe Biden was, he had a telephone call with Xi Jinping, Ricochet Rabbit, recently. And he was in the news media and the White House told us he was really talking tough. But it turns out he never brought up the Olympics or boycotting the Olympics. And he never brought up the origins of COVID-19 because that's the tough guy we have in the White House. You know, he's afraid of corn pop. He thinks that he called him Esther Williams and said he's going to put pomade in his hair. He has to wear a bathing cap like Esther Williams. And that's as tough as Joe Biden has gotten in his lifetime. Pretty amazing stuff. Now, you remember, again, that Russia invaded the Crimean Peninsula under Obama and Biden. And you remember the Obama administration pulled the plug on the hard-fought and hard-won missile defense system in Europe. A lot of European nations had sacrificed and gone to a long battle over to win agreement to back the United States for the deployment of a missile defense system in Europe. And then Obama pulled the plug, which was great news for Russia and Putin and for Iran, because these guys are the weak sisters, you got to understand. Weak sisters. And so I want to get into what some of Jake Sullivan said. What a sad representation this guy is of American manhood. Can you say manhood, or does it have to be, maybe in his case it could be personhood, just in this case. You saw even Emmanuel Macron et Fromage, the French chief, he is saying, listen, you're, because the French lefties, they've come up with a list of words that can't be used. You know, the PC words, and they're PCing, politically correcting the lexicon in France. And even Emmanuel Macron is pushing back over this. It's crazy. Biden, it turns out, you know, this communist that they have, the Marxist, Saule Omarova, who went to college in the Soviet Union on the Lenin scholarship and loves Karl Marx. And they were the Biden administration, I have the word Obama in front of me, the Biden administration pulled the plug on Saleh Omarova on her nomination to become the controller of the currency in the United States of America. She's a full-blown Marxist, Lenin scholarship, Soviet Union. You know, we're not kidding about this. I was talking about all the Bolsheviks that George Soros, anti-Semitism, has put in as district attorneys across the country. We got an update on that, too, because Philadelphia shattering homicide records. And their George Soros prosecutor, who is an extreme radical leftist like Saleh Omarova. This is, you know, these are not liberals, ladies and gentlemen. This is the left, this administration. and from Obama on down. They're not liberals. They're the left, and it's a completely different thing. They're closer to Beijing than they are to John F. Kennedy, and it's a tragic situation we're dealing with here. But they pulled the plug on her nomination. They say that she volunteered to withdraw her own name, but that's almost always a lie in Washington. There are 10,000 ways to lie in the naked city, but it is just an awful, awful administration. Democrats, did you see in New York City, the Fox News Channel erected this year a 50-foot Christmas tree in front of their New York headquarters, and they had a big event with the Christmas tree lighting ceremony. I think it was on Sunday night, and they had a long TV show, 2 or 3 hours long, an event lighting their Christmas tree, and it's kind of, competing with the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree, which is in front of where NBC News does their broadcast, where Matt Lauer, where in the world is Matt Lauer? Where he had his desk with the Marx Brothers button underneath that locked the door so he could chase women around like a clown. And he had the vibrating closet and stuff. That's Rockefeller Center. They have the big tree. Now, if some MAGA hat-wearing person went in and set the Rockefeller Center Christmas tree on fire, we'd hear about it every day for years and years. It'd be like January 6th all over again. But when some Democrat goes and sets the 50-foot-high Fox News headquarters Christmas tree on fire, 6th Avenue and 48th Street in Manhattan, not really news, not a big thing, because Democrats burn and loot things all the time. It's become normal. So it's arson, and a person has been arrested, but it's not going to be a big deal because it was Fox News and the left. They burn and they loot, and then AOC says it didn't really happen because the data doesn't support it, whatever that's supposed to mean. But a man in custody after Christmas tree outside Fox News building set on fire after midnight last night. And the Fox News anchor, the wonderful Shannon Bream, went to the burning tree live last night about 20 minutes after midnight, I guess. Pretty amazing, amazing stuff. The Democrats and crime, go together like love and marriage, like carrots and peas, like ham and eggs. And everywhere you look, just mad crime. Got another one in Minneapolis, a woman who self-describes as a journalist. I think that's enough now, isn't it? Was minding her own business again after midnight when a gang of Democrats, one of which was carrying an assault-style rifle, as the news media might describe it, looked like an AR-15-style rifle, and they were robbing and stealing cars in a parking lot. The lady made some video of it, and while she saw this happening, she called the police, and she hung out for about 15 minutes, but the cops didn't show up in Minneapolis, and the criminals made off with a couple of cars, drove away, looted some other cars, and then drove away and stolen cars. So that's, that's the thing. Also, Apple has this great device. They got a new device. You can put like a tracking device on cars, and you can track the cars. Very handy. It's like Mission Impossible. And carjackers are using them now. They see you in your nice Mercedes, and they put the little tracking device on your car. And then you go home, and they know where your home is, and they go to your home, and they steal the car. Because Apple is, providing all kinds of helpful technology for everyone. In Los Angeles, California, a mom discovered that when her son, with a number of medical conditions, came home, that the school had vaccinated, Los Angeles Unified School District vaccinated her teenage son without her permission, without her consent, and gave him some pizza. Said, here, we'll give you pizza if you let us vaccinate you. We're going to stick needles in you, give you vaccines. Are they FDA approved now? And the teenage kid came home and said, yeah, they gave me pizza, so I was vaccinated today. And mom is not amused. But remarkable stuff. Juicy Smollett in Chicago. And the N-word. This is a fun story. Completely nuts. Completely nuts. More mayhem at CNN. CNN, this is a great stuff. He lost his Sirius XM radio show. Chris Cuomo did. Accusations of groping now in addition to everything else. And they're all afraid to come forward until they're not, the women, that is, because they know the Democrats will destroy them and their destructo machine will smear all the women. Pound me too, as they say. Chris Cuomo has now lost a book deal, and they say there are weasel words going on here. He's suing for his $18 million for his contract that they owe him, allegedly. And they say he won't get severance after CNN firing. Severance is not what he's asking for. So they're using weasel words on us again and all kinds of crazy stuff. Boy, we got a lot for you today. Also, the Democrats melting down a statue of Robert E. Lee. And I assume they're going to have a book burning soon after that. Hey, what happened to all those Afghan refugees we brought into the United States? I've got an update for you. You're not going to believe this. Extraordinary stuff. And we are at 888-630-9625.
There's only one Chris Plant. The Chris Plant Show.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
You know, yesterday we were talking about the University of Pennsylvania transgender swimmer and how she, meaning he, is smashing all women's swimming records because she's a dude and has, a male appendage and, you know, but took some drugs for a year or so. Now, shattering all records, university records, Ivy League records, pool records, tournament records, and what beat the number two swimmer in one race by 23 seconds, got out of the pool, drank a Gatorade, had a sandwich, and then the number two person arrived. And just extraordinary. We were talking about that because the Democrat Party it's got some gender dysphoria going on. It's rampant. And it's a bit of an issue because they're, you know, your kids, they're selling it to your kids. Now, it turns out Steven Spielberg, we were talking about Steven Spielberg's new version of West Side Story, because really West Side Story needed to be remade, didn't it? The new West Side Story has a transgender character. I think the original had a tomboy, and she had skinned knees and didn't like to wear a dress. Now, transgender character in the new West Side Story because, you know, woke, enlightened, gender bender. RuPaul, and as a result, has been banned in Saudi Arabia. The movie's been banned in Saudi Arabia and banned in a number of other Arab nations, Gulf nations, and the studio says they will not edit the film to do away with the transgender character unless China asks. And if China asks, then of course they'll do it. But right now, they're fine. But transgender character. And Steven Spielberg, West Side Story, because they're updating it, you know, for the modern dementia of today's Democrat Party. Also, completely crazy, you see that the Guardian out of the UK reporting that the George Orwell's estate has approved a feminist retelling of the great classic 1984, because it really needed to be updated, and everything should be updated to include feminist and transgender retelling of things, because they're rewriting history and melting statues.
This is the Chris Plant Show.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse
yes,
me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.
Yeah, rewriting George Orwell, I say it all the time, they have no sense of irony. They don't understand irony at all. This is quite extraordinary, this story in The Guardian out of the UK. Really amazing. We are at 888-630-9625. So many extraordinary stories. You know, the New York Times the other day had an opinion piece by a leftist, and it seems that, I don't know, they're all insane. Is that possible? But the New York Times had an opinion piece asking the musical question, is it possible, is my little library contributing to the gentrification of my black neighborhood? This is what? I'm sorry, what? You know, they've got these things, big rage. There's one in my building. There are several in my neighborhood where people put little kind of extra large birdhouses on 4x4 posts, and you can drop a book that you've already read, and people can come and take books, and it's a sort of a lending library or a give and take library or something. And a piece in the New York Times asks whether they should do away with the little library thing because it might be contributing to gentrification in their black neighborhood. This is the kind of thing that liberals struggle with in the modern world. It's extraordinary because literacy, I guess, you know, it says that white people tend to take books and white people tend to leave books. So you should probably do away with it. And maybe you should get into a tub and do a Frankie Five Angels too, because you're not well. And speaking of unwell, the Guardian, feminist retelling of 1984 approved by Orwell's estate. I guess there's money in it, so they approved it. American writer Sandra Newman's novel, Julia, will tell the dystopian story from the perspective of Winston Smith's lover. You see, because apparently George Orwell got it all wrong. Now, listen to what Allison Flood writes at The Guardian, again, with no sense of irony whatsoever. The estate of George Orwell has approved a feminist retelling of 1984, which reimagines, they love that word, like Doug Henning, the reimagines the story from the perspective of Winston Smith's lover, Julia. Opening with one of literature's most famous lines, "It was a bright, cold day in April, and the clocks were striking 13. George Orwell's 1949 novel is set in a dystopian future where Great Britain, is known as Airstrip One, is part of the totalitarian state of Oceania. Big Brother rules supreme, and the thought police stamp out any individual thinking. Sound familiar? Winston Smith works in the Ministry of Truth, rewriting history to suit Big Brother's narrative." Now, full stop. There is, again, no sense of irony. And here they are rewriting George Orwell to suit today's Big Brother's narrative from a feminist perspective, who I assume will become transgender. He starts a forbidden affair with Julia, who works on the novel writing machines in the fiction department. Again, no sense of irony, until both are captured and sent for re-education via Room 101. In Julia, by Sandra Newman, the incidents of 1984 are seen through the woman's eyes. It was the man from Records who began it, him all unknowing in his prim, grim way, his above-it-all, odd-think way. He was one Syme called Old Misery, writes Newman. Now, Comrade Smith was his right name, though Comrade never suited him somehow. Of course, if you felt foolish calling someone Comrade, far better not to speak to them at all. You see, so this is just amazing. And it turns out that in the new version, with no sense of irony, George Orwell, this is really what George Orwell was warning us about. And now the today's estate of George Orwell is approving that a leftist feminist American writer rewrite history to better suit today's groupthink. This is exactly what Orwell was warning us about. And here it is, and nothing could be more ironic than rewriting 1984 from a brand new radical left-wing pseudo-feminist perspective. Just extraordinary. And it turns out, you see, that Julia, understands the world of Oceana in the new version, quote, far better than Winston, and is essentially happy with her life. This is exactly what George Orwell was sounding the alarm about. And here it is. This is George Orwell's dystopian nightmarish future. And the Orwell estate approved it because they want the cash, I guess. Wow. See, as Orwell put it in 1984, in some ways she was far more acute than Winston, far less susceptible to party propaganda. She also stirred a sort of envy in him by telling him that during the two minutes hate, they have the 2 minutes hate, and certainly the party has that today too. Her great difficulty was to avoid bursting out laughing. But you see, now in the new version, she understands Oceana far better than Winston and is essentially happy with her life. See, she's not disapproving. She's not laughing at it. She's adapted to it. The re-education worked. This is Julia post-re-education, and that will be the new version, no sense of irony, of George Orwell's 1984. Boy, that's pretty extraordinary stuff, I got to tell you. That's crazy. That's today's Democrat Party. In fact, I think I heard today on the radio that the Democrats, they were doing it yesterday, shutting down traffic in Washington, D.C. because they want traffic justice or something like that. Is that what it is? I keep thinking of Jimi Hendrix and tire tracks all across your back. I can see you had your fun. But this is pretty extraordinary stuff here. Man. Richard Blair, George Orwell's son, has been consulted and approves of the project. Well, I'm sure he's a modern-day lefty who's been brainwashed and all of this extraordinary stuff. That's an extraordinary story. And going hand in glove with that, I mentioned it a little earlier, but it warrants mentioning again in this context, Charlottesville's Robert E. Lee statue will be melted down by city's African-American History Museum, the Washington Post proudly types today, and Teo Armas typing for the left at the Washington Post. The statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee that once provoked a deadly weekend of violence. You know, you guys killed 9 people in Chicago over the weekend, and you killed Kevin Nishida last week, and you killed David Dorn, and you guys are killing people in your riots all the time. Just by the way, see George Orwell, will be melted down and turned into a new piece of public artwork. I can hardly wait. I'm sure it'll be great. Following a vote by city lawmakers early Tuesday morning. And we're talking about Democrats because they're the Taliban, you see. Now, take it away if you want to a history museum or something. Also, the governor there, the guy in the Klan uniform, Governor Koonman, Northam Koonman is his nickname in college and in medical school. The guy who will club the babies to death if they dare to survive abortions. He's a pediatrician. This is Democrat world. George Orwell warned us about this time, and here we are. Pretty extraordinary stuff. He said that they're going to tear down the pedestal, too. They're going to remove they should salt the earth, and it should never be used for anything ever again. Pretty extraordinary stuff. So they're going to melt it down. You know, the Taliban blowing up the Buddhist idols in Afghanistan and all of that stuff. This is today's Democrat Party. They're not well. They're not well. Completely nuts. And again, the rewriting, it almost sounds like satire. It sounds like the Babylon Bee, that we're going to rewrite George Orwell's 1984 and make it, this time from the perspective of Big Brother and Oceana. And that's basically what's happening here. And the money will take the money, the family, will take the paycheck. They'll take the money. Speaking of blowing up Buddhist idols in Afghanistan and how the Democrats are really the Taliban of the 21st century in the United States of America, there is an amazing story. Once again, the American news media not reporting it because the American news media is not in the news business, I think it would be generous to say. But the Daily Mail has the story. You know, remember Joe Biden, the great job he did in Afghanistan, pulling the plug, surprising NATO, disgracing everyone. There's a BBC story, by the way, that all the people that helped them are being murdered and executed by the Taliban. The American news media isn't covering that story either, because the people that helped us are being kidnapped and hanged and tortured and murdered in Afghanistan. But the American news media doesn't care because Joe Biden, you know, if it were the Trump administration that had created this calamity, this disaster, it would be front page news every day, you know, like January 6th, where Ashley Babbitt, an Air Force veteran, was shot and killed by a U.S. Capitol police officer. But here's an update on the great job that that the Biden administration has done from the Daily Mail and not the Washington Post or the New York Times or CNN. More than 30,000, I believe the number is more than 34,000, actually, more than 30,000 Afghan refugees are still living on seven U.S. military bases in the United States, 3 months after the botched Afghanistan withdrawal. U.S. has directed more than $13 billion to accommodate the refugees. Now, well, there's seven U.S. military bases, and they've got a map of the bases, and they show you, you know, Fort McCoy in Wisconsin, Quantico, the Marine Corps base in Virginia, Joint Base McGuire-Dix in New Jersey, Fort Pickett in Virginia, Camp Afterbury in Indiana, Holloman Air Force Base, and Fort Bliss in Texas, and they've got tens of thousands of Afghan refugees still living on seven U.S. military bases. The seven military bases still participating in Operation Allies Welcome. George Orwell, line two. Fort Bliss in Texas, and the list goes on. We're glad to see that a majority of those who came to the United States have now been resettled, said the Pentagon spokesman, Admiral John Kirby. He's Cobble Kirby. They call him Cobble Kirby. He's like Baghdad Bob. He did not detail how much longer the mission is expected to last. It's a mission. So far, the U.S. has pledged about $13.3 billion to Afghan settlement efforts, half of which came in a September disaster relief and stopgap government funding bill, $7 billion of which came from a continuing resolution to keep the government open through the end of the year. Wow, wow, wow. This is the Biden administration, and they're loved by the news media. It reminds me of, remember when Barack Obama, who bombed more countries than any president since World War II, 8 is the correct number. Many in the media will tell you 7 because they leave out the Philippines. You know, Mr. Nobel Peace Prize. And bombed more countries than any president since World War II. Bombed Libya for 8 months in a bombing campaign that he promised would take days and not weeks. And the news media covered it for about a week. And then they said, looks like this is going to go on for a long time. And Obama said it would take days and not weeks. So the news media stopped covering it. The Obama administration stopped providing access to the aircraft carrier that was used to bomb Libya for 8 months until Muammar Gaddafi was killed. And then they walked away and left a failed state in their wake. Benghazi, anyone. And Al-Qaeda and ISIS run free. And the news media just doesn't cover it. Now, 34,000 Afghan refugees still at seven military bases inside of our borders in the U.S., not a news story. Boy, it's good to be a Democrat, isn't it? The open border, crime wave across the country, Democrat crime wave across the country. Homicides, that you know, the biggest leap in homicides from 2019 to 2020 that we've seen in 100 years of record keeping. And these are non-stories. Philadelphia, with their, they got another George Soros-backed prosecutor there who doesn't prosecute. And they got more than 500 homicides. I believe that's their all-time record, I think, isn't it? And the Soros district attorney came out yesterday and said, nothing to see here, no big deal. And the media is good with that. It is good to be a Democrat, isn't it? Thank God for talk radio. All right, let's go to the telephones, Michael. Let's go to Mark calling from Landover Hills, Maryland. Marcus, you're on the Chris Plant Show.
Good morning, Chris. You're on point once more, my friend.
Why, thank you. You know, it's difficult to not be. This is how easy it is. You know, if CNN were my network, it would be reporting hard news all day and all night.
Well, you know, Chris, I was telling Jeff, man, it's really funny. You had me laughing when I was talking to him about George Orwell. And it's really funny how people were reacting to changing the book on 1984 and don't realize what it's about, like you were alluding to, and that they want to change their narrative like their horse manure news they listen to when they've already been had, and a lot of it is because of the garbage that they eat, and they don't even realize it, my friend.
You know, in George Orwell's 1984, Big Brother, the totalitarian regime, is busy rewriting history. They go back and they rewrite history. And the communists did this, and that George Orwell was referring to the communists and to the National Socialist German Workers Party of Adolf Hitler. And now we see it happening here, and our news media applauds it. And when we see, for example, Twitter, Jack Dorsey's Twitter, and now Twitter's getting even worse than it was under Jack Dorsey, and they're trampling the stories about the Biden family corruption and the Biden laptop and the emails, and Tony Bobulinski, CEO of Hunter Biden Company, comes forward and tells us that Joe Biden is big guy in the emails. He's getting a 10% cut of the China business. And the news media, they write it out of the official record. And this is very Orwellian stuff. And then with no sense of irony whatsoever, the left comes in and rewrites 1984 as they're melting down statues. And again, the Confederacy was a Democrat operation. Jefferson Davis, a Democrat, president of the Confederacy in the American Civil War. Abraham Lincoln, a Republican, shot in the head by a Democrat, also an actor. And, Johnny Depp saying, gee, when's the last time an actor shot and killed a president? And they're stabbing Trump in Central Park doing Julius Caesar. And they're decapitating Donald Trump and holding his head up for fun on Twitter. And none of that is banned. But the truth about the Biden family and their business dealings and the laptop and the emails erased from the official record. And now they're literally rewriting, with no sense of irony, George Orwell, which George Orwell warned us about, rewriting history. They're taking this important novel from Western history and rewriting it to appease today's version of Big Brother. Amazing times we live in.
You're listening to The Chris Plant Show.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Null. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
You know, this is just so completely insane. I'm talking about the rewriting of George Orwell's 1984 from the feminist perspective of Julia. Boy, pretty amazing. Winston Smith's lover and girlfriend, and she understands the world better than him because, you know, feminism. And it turns out, and this has been pointed out now by two friends, by John and Danny, who texted me about it. You may remember during the Obama administration, the Obama administration put out Life of Julia, Life of Julia. And it was a little cartoon, a comic thing, where the state cared for Julia from birth through death. And it's pretty amazing. William Bennett, Bill Bennett, wrote a piece on it with the headline, Obama's Life of Julia is the Wrong Vision for America. It's the wrong vision for America. And Bill Bennett, a very bright man, a genius, a great American, said, you know, the Obama campaign launched a fictional storybook ad called Life of Julia. Slideshow narrative follows Julia, a cartoon character, from age 3 to 67 and explains how Obama's policies from Head Start to Obamacare to mandated contraception coverage to Medicare reform would provide Julia with a better life than Mitt Romney or Paul Ryan could. It just becomes more and more ironic. Can we resurrect George Orwell and bring him back?
Ah! The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.